Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with the 18th verse. Dear friends in Christ, why do we exist as a congregation? What's the purpose of Holy Cross? What really is the point of any Christian congregation? Now, there are many congregations that will write up some sort of mission statement describing what they believe to be their purpose or their mission is. Any decent mission statement is going to be based, at least on part, on our words for today. Words that we call the Great Commission. They are Jesus' command, Jesus' instructions to His children, to His church, about what their mission is. What their purpose is. It is to make disciples of all nations by baptizing and by teaching everything found in God's Word. Now, many people have their own opinion about the reason for their church, what their purpose of their church is. Now, I've heard people say that church is a place you go to celebrate life's biggest events. Now, by that, I suppose they're thinking of baptisms and weddings and funerals. Some might even throw in confirmation in there as well. So is that it? Is that the reason why we exist as a congregation, as a place for someone to celebrate certain milestones in life? No, of course not. And we're not even going to get into the problem with thinking of baptisms and weddings and funerals and confirmations as events or special occasions in life. For some, church is a place you go to during the holidays. It's simply what you do. Oh, you hear people talk about one of their traditions is to go into the Christmas Eve candlelight service. Or, you know, it just wouldn't seem right on Easter not to go to church in order to have that big Easter breakfast. So, church for some people is where they go to fulfill some sense of tradition, some sense of normalcy, of habit. Many people think of church as a place to go to, as a place to feel good about themselves then. Well, God must be pleased with me. I actually took the time out of my busy schedule to come and worship God, unlike many other people who stayed at home. So God must be pretty happy with me. So on the basis of their own works, then, they feel as if church is a place to go, as a place to feel good about themselves. Now, we certainly want people to worship on Christmas Eve and Easter and so on, but those are just 2 days where we fulfill the purpose that God has given us. For others, church is a place to go to be entertained. Oh, they want some good, exciting music. Maybe we can have some guitars up here and some drums and a band and we can listen to a concert, almost. Hey, no one would be falling asleep if that was the case. For sermons, they want sermons who pastors stand up here who tell a lot of personal jokes, tell some jokes and some personal stories. Really, they want someone to be real and relevant and to connect with us on a personal level. Who really cares about the message? Who really cares about the content and the doctrines that are taught as long as he connects with us and we are entertained as if he's up here doing a stand-up routine? Why stop at concerts or stand-up? We can have some pageants. We can have some plays put on. That would get people in here. That would get people really excited. Now, we don't want our worship services to be boring, and we want to connect to everyone. But is that our purpose? Is that why it exists, to entertain others as if we're a movie theater or a nightclub? Not at all. Of course, some would prefer it to be that way. Others might see church as a place to go to hang out with friends, like a social club of sorts. Well, they say, you know, I've always belonged here, and so I'm always going to belong here no matter what happens. My family has been part of this congregation for generations. No, you can go here to catch up on the latest gossip. Maybe you can talk to some friends, make some business connections. It's a family affair. And while we certainly want to be friendly with each other, and it's great that we're all friends and get along, this is not a social club. It's not a place to go to catch up with friends necessarily. And still others think the purpose of the church, the reason why the church exists, is simply to exist. We're here because we've always been here. We've been here for decades, and we're going to do all we can to make sure that we still exist in the future. Oh, you know these type of churches. You've seen them. You drive past them. You never really met anyone from those churches. It seems as if they just simply exist. And they do exist. And many of their members will try as hard as they can simply to keep that church in existence at the expense of doing the actual purpose that God given them as the congregation in the first place. So what is that purpose? Why do we exist as a congregation? It goes back to the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's the reason why we exist. That's the sole purpose of our congregation, the reason why we as individual Christians have come together to form Holy Cross is to fulfill the Great Commission of making disciples of all nations. Now, how that plays out in an individual congregation could take many forms. But it all goes back to the gospel. We make disciples, first off, by baptizing. We baptize in the name of the triune God. Because it is through baptism that the Holy Spirit works. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit washes away our sins and we are covered in the righteous robes of Christ. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit works faith into our hearts and we are adopted as God's own children. So God makes disciples through the waters of baptism. So we baptize all nations, infants included. Baptism, of course, is useless without faith. And there are many, even here, who weren't baptized as infants. And therefore, God tells us to make disciples by another means besides baptism. Actually, it's the same means, the gospel. The form is different. The work. God tells us, Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples by teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Through the gospel, the Holy Spirit works. Through the gospel, he creates faith and he strengthens faith. He causes us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ when we hear the gospel. So we make disciples not only by baptizing, but also by sharing the word, specifically the gospel. Notice that when Jesus tells us to go and make disciples, we aren't actually the ones who are making disciples. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes disciples through baptism and through the sharing of the word. He is the one who works. He is the one who does everything. We aren't responsible for converting someone. We're not responsible for making sure someone believes as if we have to convince them to believe. No, our job is simply to spread the gospel, to throw it out there, to plant the seed. The Lord waters it. The Lord causes it to grow, to bud, and flourish. All we do is spread the gospel and let the Holy Spirit do His work. And it gives us comfort and encouragement that the results aren't up to us. It also doesn't matter who's spreading that gospel. It doesn't matter who's preaching or teaching. It doesn't matter who the pastor is. It doesn't matter who is sharing their faith with their friends. Because the power of the gospel, the effectiveness of the gospel, does not depend on the person who is preaching it, but on the Holy Spirit who works through it. Now, we can certainly get in the way of the Holy Spirit working through the gospel when we don't spread the gospel. But the same Holy Spirit uses the same power through the gospel, whoever hears it. So all we do, our job as a Christian congregation, is to spread the gospel. To tell other people about Christ. About who he is and what he has done to save us. It's a message that we don't know by nature. It's a message that is foolishness to us by nature. We don't know Christ and we don't care to know Christ by nature. So it's a message that everyone needs to hear. A message that is found only in the Bible. Sin separates us from God. We're enemies of God by nature. But Christ removed our sin by his suffering and death on the cross. He took our sins upon himself and gave us his perfect life. God demands that we be perfect. But we're not. But Jesus took away our sin and gave us his perfect life. He took away what we couldn't have and made us what we needed to be, so we are perfect and holy in the eyes of God. He restores us to a right relationship with our Savior. Everything we need to do to be saved cannot be done by us, but it was accomplished by Christ for us, in our place. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And by his suffering and death on the cross, and by his resurrection, he saves us. We live because he also lives. And we know that even though we die, we will dwell with him in heaven forever. That's the gospel. That's the message of the church. A message that we get to share with others. And everything that Christ has done for us is received only through faith in him. And this faith is worked in us by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. So everything, every requirement has already been accomplished and fulfilled by Christ. That is our purpose, to spread the gospel, so other people may hear and believe in Jesus Christ as their one and only Savior. Of course, Jesus said to go and make disciples by teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Sure, our focus is on the gospel, but we don't just preach the gospel. Everything means both law and gospel. Everything found in his word. Not holding back. Not backing down or downplaying the law because people don't want to hear that they're sinners. Or we don't know, or being afraid of upsetting people and telling them they're wicked, sinful people who are helpless and hopeless to save themselves. No, we preach all of the law with all its force to prepare them for the gospel so that they can see their sin and we can then tell them about Christ, their Savior. It also means that we don't be afraid of what society says is right or what science says is wrong. No, we teach all of the truths of God's Word, regardless of what other people think or say. That is the job of the church, to stick to all of God's word and to teach all of God's word. And to whom do we teach all of God's word? Well, it starts right here with our own members. Now, we do learn some of God's word in the worship service. We're all learning from the time that our parents brought us as infants. And the Holy Spirit can work faith into the hearts of infants. But we only worship for an hour, and half of worship isn't really learning God's word, it's praising God and worshiping God. So the knowledge that we receive during a worship service is somewhat limited. We really learn more of God's word outside of the 1 hour a week of a worship service. So we start early, at 3 years old, in Sunday school. And then we move with learning the basics of Christian teachings, basic Bible stories. And then we move on to confirmation class with the basics of Christian teachings. The basics. Only scratching the surface in confirmation class. By the time we get confirmed, we don't know everything. We only know the very beginning of Christian teachings. Even the most learned biblical scholars will readily admit, each time they open up the Bible, they learn something new or they're reminded of something they had previously forgotten. It would be ignorant to think that once we were confirmed, we were done learning God's Word. We would be ignorant to think that we know all of God's Word and we don't have to study or read it ever again. No. The church's job is to teach everything found in Scripture. And if it's the church's job, if it's your job to teach everything found in Scripture, then it's also your job to learn everything found in Scripture. And therefore, that is a lifelong endeavor. So we start in Sunday school. We have confirmation. We have VBS. We have things of the like. But we also have Bible classes for adults. So they too can learn as God's children. So they too can sit at the feet of the Savior and learn from the ultimate teacher, Christ. But the job of the church isn't just in reach. We don't just teach our own children, but we teach others. Now, how can inReach, how can teach our old children be making disciples? Because through the gospel, the Holy Spirit works. Through the gospel, the Holy Spirit not only brings to faith, but He keeps us in the one true faith. So inReach is making disciples. But we also do outreach, sharing God's word with others so they may hear the gospel, be brought to faith, and make disciples of all nations. We do that here at a local level. By telling our friends, our relatives, our associates, our neighbors, or whoever it might be, about Jesus, about inviting them to worship services, and so on. But we can't reach everybody. We can't reach people of all nations here in Standish. And that's why we have joined together with other like-minded congregations as part of our Synod of the Wells. And they were able to pool our resources together to train future pastors and teachers. We are able to start new congregations throughout the country so that people who don't have the pure gospel can hear it. So that we are able to send missionaries overseas to foreign countries who have never heard the gospel, that they may hear and believe it and be brought to faith as followers of Christ. That's why we exist. That's why we as individual Christians have come together to form this congregation called Holy Cross. To do as best as we can to make disciples of all nations by baptizing and by teaching everything found in Scripture. We teach our own and we spread the word to whoever may hear and listen. And we have this comfort and encouragement as we carry out the Great Commission on an individual basis, as a congregation, and as a synod. The Lord will always be with us. He told His disciples, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." As we go out and make disciples, as we preach the gospel, as we teach His word to others, the Lord will always be with us. We'll face some backlash. People may mock us and ridicule us and maybe even try to do harm to us. The Lord is always with us, guarding us and protecting us, and always working through the gospel that we share. We know that our work in the Lord is not in vain. As we read from Isaiah, His word does not return to Him empty. It always accomplishes the purpose for which He sent it. He will cause His word to bud and flourish. So we have that courage and comfort, knowing that no matter what we do, as we spread the gospel, the Holy Spirit will work through that gospel, and He will bless our work together. That's the purpose of Holy Cross. That's our job as a congregation. That's why we exist. We don't exist to be a place of entertainment. We're not a social club. Some big events may happen within these four walls. But that's not our purpose either. And we certainly don't exist for the sake of existing. The reason for Holy Cross is to carry out the Great Commission, to spread the gospel to baptize all nations, and to share all of God's word to all people. And if that's what our purpose is, then we do all we can to help carry out that purpose, to support that purpose, and to make use of that purpose, knowing full well that our work in the Lord is not in vain. He is with us always and will certainly bless our endeavors. For it will not return to him empty. And he will, through our work, make disciples of all nations. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.